Well, it is the third year that the DNR scientists have been looking at sharp-tailed grouse and prairie chickens, and they're trying to figure out if these birds are being exposed to neonicotinoids. We talk about that kind of pesticide a lot in conjunction with bees and pollinators and the damage it does to bees and pollinators. And there are scientists working to see what happens as we scamper up and down the food chain with regard to neonicotinoids. Charlotte Roy is the author of this study, and she's a grouse research scientist, which I can barely say once, let alone three times fast. Charlotte, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Lisa.
Thanks
for having me.
Nice to have you along with us this morning. So tell us a little bit about the study, and then we'd also like to know how you're inviting hunters to take part.
Absolutely. We initiated this study to see if birds and other wildlife in Minnesota are being exposed to neonicotinoids. Neonicotinoids, as I'm sure you're aware, are the most widely used pesticides worldwide and are commonly applied as a treatment on seeds before planting. They were adopted because they're considered safe for birds and mammals, but recent studies indicate that at large doses, they can be harmful to birds. And we're trying to see if birds are being exposed here in Minnesota. So hunters are often one of our strongest advocates for conservation and for conserving wild populations. And so we're asking that hunters voluntarily submit frozen livers and or whole carcasses at their local wildlife DNR office, along with location information, so that we can test those tissues for neonicotinoid chemicals and try to track that with the location where they were collected from.
Is the idea now that you're concerned about the neonicotinoids hurting the grouse themselves or hurting people or animals that would then eat the grouse?
Well, at this point, there's no evidence that there's trophic transfer, meaning that there isn't any evidence that they are accumulating up the food chain. We haven't actually done many studies to look at that yet at this point, but that's not the primary concern. What we are most interested in learning is whether the birds and other wildlife are being exposed to these chemicals at doses that could cause harmful effects to the birds. And so some of the effects that have been documented in birds in captivity include things like being less responsive or uncoordinated, having wing drop, eggshell thinning's been reported in some studies, a reduced egg hatching rate, immune suppression, low weight in chicks, among other potentially harmful effects.
And that's going to make some people prick up their ears and remember that DDT wasn't one of the primary effects of DDT back in the day, eggshell thinning, and that's what was causing such a problem for eagles?
Yes, back in the day, that is exactly true. And so you know, it's important for us to you know, pay attention to the effects of these birds, effects of these chemicals on wildlife.
We're concerned, obviously, about neonicotinoids because of their effect on pollinators, and that effect on pollinators really does have a ripple effect if the ripples are waves down the line. Is it enough for us as a society that's concerned about the natural world to say, hey, we got to quit using these things because of the effect on pollinators, or do we kind of have to accumulate additional reasons or data? For example, this is what it's doing to birds, in order to go to the policymakers and say, look, the damage is widespread enough, we need to do something different.
Well, that's a very value-laden question, Lisa. I think that the answer to that question is going to be a very personal one. You know, some people are going to err on the side of caution, and I think I would be in that camp of let's be careful about how we move forward. But a lot of other people would take a different perspective based on their values, and would say that unless there's evidence that these chemicals are harmful to, you know, at levels that are affecting populations, that, you know, that we should be not restricting use. And so I guess the long answer, or the short answer to your question is simply, it depends who you ask.
How much longer, Charlotte, do you plan to conduct this study?
This is our last year of field collection, collecting the hunter-harvested birds with our current funding. We will likely pursue additional funding for future studies, but at this point we don't have any funding in place. I should say that the current project is done collaboratively with Julie Ponder at the University of Minnesota, Mark Jankowski with EPA, and Da Chen at SIU in Carbondale, Illinois, and it's funded by LCCMR.
Is there a plan to have any kind of a public rollout of the data that you have come up with, or is that the sort of thing that is handled more in-house and the DNR would make that available to other scientists and people making recommendations?
That's a great question, Lisa. All of our research reports for studies conducted by researchers in the DNR are available online at the DNR website under Wildlife Research Summaries. And you can go there and see the latest reports that are posted, and they are updated every year. In addition, though, we do go through peer review publication, and we certainly intend to make this widely available.
Thank you so much, Charlotte, for taking some time to talk to us about it this morning. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Lisa.
Charlotte Roy is the author of this study. She's a grouse research scientist with the DNR, and she joined us this morning as our guest on Northland Morning.